Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And I just want to start the show with a little time with God. And the devotion that we're going to be doing is called Time, Practical Direction and Tips for Making the Most of God's Precious Gift of Time. And it's by someone who we have interviewed a couple of times. Her name is Karen Whiting. And I love this book. I have really enjoyed it as I'm going through it, and I hope you do too. Chapter 1, Time. God created time and set the earth in motion, giving us 24 hours each day. Time is God's gift to us. When spent wisely, there is ample time for nurturing relationships, fulfilling dreams, and experiencing joy. God's plan for each person, as He has formed them, gives more than enough time to do what is humanly possible to do. And our scripture is, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Jeremiah 29:11, one of my most favorite verses. And then a little tune or song, you probably are familiar with it. It's, "Moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment, I've help from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am Thine." And that famous song was by D.H. Whittle. As you go through your day and you feel stressed out, every time you feel that thing of stress swelling up, then just have a little prayer. Make every breath a prayer and every action an act of worship. You know, as I'm looking at our prayer requests, my heart really goes out because there is so much suffering. But I'd like to bring to our prayer time today a little boy, 5 years old, and his grandma. They were in a very bad car accident. They were actually blindsided by a police car, and this happened in Mississippi. He's fighting for his life, and so is his grandma. And let's just hold them up in prayer. And then the other one that I want to hold up is Jessica. She's so worried because she was diagnosed with COVID and she has type 1 diabetic. So she's really scared. I think we need to pray not only for her healing, but for peace of mind. Let's pray. Dear Lord, You know all of the prayer requests and the suffering, but we're holding up to You in a special way today. We're interceding for a little boy, 5 years old, and his grandmother who were in a bad car accident. And we're just praying for his healing. And then we're praying for Jessica, that not only will she not have any symptoms from her diagnosis of COVID, but that she can have peace, knowing that You know every cell in her body and that You care about her and love her so much. Lord, I know there's other prayer requests, prayers for people who have cancer and lack of finances, and we just ask that they too can have the peace that passes understanding, knowing how much you love them, that when they cry, You cry, and that You're coming back soon for all of us. And we just look forward to that. All this, Lord, we pray in Thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts time! This year, what I'm doing with my group of young people is we're incorporating art with our Bible class. So every art project that we're doing, I'm connecting it in some way. So for example, this week we're studying about baby Moses. So we're going to make a little basket and put a little paper doll in it to represent Moses. This is something for the young at heart. And for your older students, you might have them do a more sophisticated type of basket. And, their level of sophistication would be such that they might even be the ones to think up of what art project can we do that connects with baby Moses. And there's all kinds of neat basket type of art crafts and weaving crafts. So that's what I'm doing with my young people. I have four that I'm working with, and so have fun learning. It's time for our curriculum corner, and I'm going to start with how I do my subject lineup for the day. So for example, I start with worship and Bible. I kind of intermingle them. The first few minutes we sing, we have our prayer request time and talk about our day, and then we pray. And then we continue with our Bible story, and right now we're working with baby Moses, like I said, in the arts and crafts corner. And be sure and go to my Pinterest site. I just find good ideas there and share them. So it's not very much of my own original stuff. I need to start putting on my own original pictures and stuff because I have tons of it, but very busy. And so the Bible class, I do have there the Grace Links Bible that is developed by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but it's free to anyone and you can pick and choose. It has some cute little learning videos and it's leveled in the sense that it tells you, okay, this is appropriate for toddlers, this is appropriate for, 5 to 7 year olds. And so you can have the same lesson, but then you can have activities that are based on the various ages. And that's a nice thing to incorporate in your Bible. You can't always just find a lot of curriculum for the subject of Bible, but yet it's so important. I think it's good for children to have a memory verse every week and to really learn those valuable Bible stories. The story of baby Moses, the story of Daniel in the lion's den, the story of Joseph in the coat of many colors. Those stories just tend to be a foundational element that every child should have. So when you're thinking of the curriculum that you need for Bible, think of it as the path that you want your child to take for the worldview that you want them to have. Is it a faith-based worldview, or do you want it to be a secular worldview? And even if you're sending your children to public school, you might want them to have a Bible class at home. And you can do that with some of this wonderful stuff that's free to you online. So you can go to my Pinterest. It's MR Gamblin 2. That is the call words for my Pinterest account, MR Gamblin. So you go to Pinterest and then MR Gamblin. And, click on my board, my Bible crafts and curriculum board, and you'll see it there. You're welcome to help yourself. And that concludes our curriculum corner. Questions parents ask. So this first question is, my child reads far above their reading level. For example, my little girl just finished reading Call of the Wild and wants to read White Fang. The content or being able to read the words isn't the problem. It's the lack of comprehension. And that is a skill that can be taught, but takes time. It needs to take the form of either little questions that you have them answer after each page or two. Some of the comprehension techniques that I use is I have the child read and then say back to me what they've read. I have the child answer comprehension questions that I can find on that book. I mean, these two books, both of them have a lot of thematic unit stuff online that you could go and pull that's comprehension based. And then the third thing that I like to do is a gist paper. So I talk about GIST is spelled G-I-S-T. You can go and find videos on it, how to write a GIST paper, all different age groups. And they basically read a paragraph and then they just write one sentence about what that paragraph meant. So if you did that, you could even have them write one sentence about the whole page, what it meant, so that they had a gist of the story that they could hand you and you would know that they got the gist. In other words, they comprehended what they read. So those kinds of skills you need to teach, especially a 9-year-old, because they're still working in a very concrete mind frame. So they're not connecting the analogies or the deeper meanings to what they're reading. It's fantastic that she's reading that well, though. Kudos for her. And then another question I have been handed was, can you tell me what kinds of foods you feed your ADHD child for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Well, I have some children that are extremely ADHD, and it's been interesting since I've started teaching them online to see them sitting there with their cups of coffee. So number one, no caffeine. Number two, no red food coloring, which is a big, huge culprit, but other food colorings too. So you could just say number two, no food coloring. Number three, no high fructose corn syrup. So when you go to read your labels, if you just watch for those three basic things, no caffeine, no food coloring, and no high fructose corn syrup, that's huge. And then as you get into the more salty part of the day, I call it, no monosodium glutamate. It affects the brain. It just affects it immensely. So you're talking about check your chips, check your ranch salad dressing. Those things often have monosodium glutamate in it, and you want MSG. You want to stay away from that. So start with those four things. You don't want to change your diet so completely. If you just started with those four things, you would know if they were affecting your child. You would see a difference. No caffeine, no food coloring, no high fructose corn syrup, so pure cane sugar is still okay, and no monosodium glutamate, no MSG. Just start with those four things and see if they have a difference. So you're going to be reading those Pop-Tarts, you're going to be reading those cereal boxes, you're going to be reading those Lunchables, and make sure that anything you give does not have those four things and see if that helps. Many times that's all it takes. So with that, I will say that's my advice. The guest that I have in the last part of the show is Jana Scott, and she has written three books. Standing on the Wall, there's one that is specifically for statesmen. There's another one that is for pastors, and then a people's version. And we're going to talk about all three of them when we come back. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm here with Jana Scott, and she is a minister of the gospel. She's a strategist, planner, advisor, public policy expert. Jana Scott has served in many capacities with faith, government, business, and the nonprofit community. Jana is passionate about praying for the United States of America, its elected and appointed leaders, and the people of this great nation. God's assignment on Jana's life has included ministry to and with people at all levels of society, from the homeless to high-ranking state and federal elected and appointed government officials, both in the U.S. and abroad. She currently serves as a preacher, a spiritual ambassador, and teacher of the gospel of Jesus. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much.
So, first of all, sometimes we forget to pray for our nation. Why should we? I mean, God knows. Why should we pray?
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for allowing me this time on the show. I'm so grateful to be able to talk about these books, and especially about God's heart for his people to pray. particularly for those who are in high government official positions. As you know, in the Word, in a couple of places, in Timothy and in the book of Romans, the Lord admonishes us to pray for those in authority over us so that we can live a peaceable life in all goodliness and holiness. So that, I think, is one of the main reasons. The other thing is that even if we're not praying for elected officials, if we're praying for one another, it brings us in closer communion with the Father. And I believe that is His heart, to bring His people back into communion with Him.
You know, I'm looking at the book itself. It's small. You can hold it with one hand. It doesn't really tire you, which is nice because, you know, sometimes you don't have connectivity. You can't read your cell phone. And this little book, you can. The table of contents starts with, on the Pastors and Faith Leaders edition, it starts with Part 1, the United States of America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And your first chapter is called A Gaping Hole. What did you mean by that?
Yeah. We believe, and when I say we, I want to honor those who labored in this book with me. There are a group of intercessors around the country who pray together all the time. I'm a longtime member, almost 25 years now, of the JGM International Prayer Life Institute, and also a couple years member of the Global Prayer Network. And we talk about how, even though we have a national constitution, there is a hole in the spirit of our country. This isn't something that happened overnight, or even with the last or current administration. This is something that goes back, way back, even to the Civil War times, even to the times of founding of our nation. There was a time when people in this country really held on to the Spirit of God. We really depended on the Spirit of God to govern the affairs of men. And that gaping hole that has been worn into the fabric of our society is that gaping hole of the spiritual detachment of our nation from the Word of God and from really just hungering after the presence of God. I'm talking about nationwide.
Yes.
We still have a remnant, and thank God for the remnant of intercessors, pastors, people of faith in this country who still hold on to that presence of God and His Word. But over time, and you can see it in the culture.
It's true. Yes, it's so true. I think that we've almost had the separation of churches and state used in this negative way that we're not even supposed to equate anything spiritual with the government. But yet, if you look at the history of the Constitution, it's all based on biblical principles, every
yes.
single tenet.
Yes, and we talk about that in the book a little bit, where we take each of those principles in the preamble and we show where those men of God, those men, the founders of this country, had to be looking to the Word of God. And even Ben Franklin says that God governs the affairs of men. But things like the tranquility and the common defense and all of the things that they talk about in the preamble, you can see that it's scripturally based.
Now, you designed the book physically because of what the statesmen carry around. You showed me they carry around a size of the Constitution that you can put in a purse or put in a pocket. And they carry that around, so this book is that same size, a little bit thicker,
mm-hmm.
but that same size.
Mm-hmm.
It also is the same size as a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. I mean, there was really thought into why a book would be created this size, because it matches the copy of the Constitution that each statesman is required to carry around with them.
I want to share a little bit about that, because
yeah.
that was really an unctioning and a command from the Lord. And I had the first publisher that started to work with me on this. There was a little pushback because she kept saying, that's going to increase the cost of printing because it's not the regular size of print. But I stuck to it because the Lord told me if you make it this size, it would be so much easier for the statesmen to be able to put it in their vest pocket, for the women who are in leadership to put it in their purse, so that during those times when they go into those intense policy hearings or when they're before the people and about to make some major law, there might be a prayer in here that can help them discern the will of God for that very moment.
Yes, I was interested in watching the impeachment trial of President Trump, and I wonder if, you know, if this book was in there with statesmen. They couldn't bring in cell phones. But could they bring in this book?
They could have.
You'll never know.
I won't know.
That's how our ministries are. We don't know the end result. God calls us to do something, and then we do it.
Yes.
But we don't. We often even don't live to see the fruit of our labor.
God did give me just a glimpse at the National Prayer Breakfast. This is a breakfast that's been going on since the times of President Eisenhower. And every single president has attended. They are not the keynote speaker, but they do speak after the keynote speaker. And then there are other events that go on around it. But one of the congressmen who spoke at one of the events later that day, he had something in his hand. I couldn't see if it was, I mean, his room of 3,000 people. But he began to say the words that appear in the prayer for the preservation of the nation. And if you don't mind, I'd just like to share just a little bit of that.
Yes, I would love it.
It's on page 44 of the book. And I won't read the whole thing, but I want to share with you what he said that it made me think. I wonder if he's been looking at my book. And this is a former congressman, but he's very close to the nation's Senate chaplain, who also received copies of the book, so that as he prays for elected officials, I'm hoping he'll read some of it too. And the part that he read was, and he wasn't actually reading it, but he said, "We must, to determine where America's strength lies, where the nation may be at risk, and where principal resources must be applied. This concept also applies to the spiritual state and future of the nation. And by wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, we can discern where the nation is strong, where it is at risk, and where to appropriately apply the spiritual resources of intercession." And then he added to that, "so that the nation can be preserved." So it was just a glimpse.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that this is a novel concept. Many people have talked about this. So he may have been saying it from something else. But the Lord just gave me a glimpse. It was either a glimpse of he's seen your book, or it's a glimpse of you're on the right track. So
yes.
I praised God for that.
Yes. So our listeners, where can they go to support this ministry?
Well, we ask them first and foremost to support us in prayer, that the Lord would do with these versions what he has intended, and that nothing would be able to stand in the way of it. They can go to the website of the publisher, www.fiestapublishing.com. That's again, www, and then the word Fiesta, which is Fiesta, publishing.com.
Well, we've come to the end of our show. Thank you so much for being with us. I look forward to interviewing you again soon, because we just have only touched the tip of the iceberg. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.